Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
I tell you what, man, when I was in worship ministry for a long, long time, it was like when anything slightly wrong would go bad or something wasn't working on like a Sunday morning, it was like you could feel every head in the church like turn around and look at the back to the person who's on the soundboard and like, "Will, fix it." And sometimes weird stuff just happens. So we're going to use this microphone here today. So I hope you guys are having a good time this week. How many are having a good time so far this week? Okay. All right. Do y'all realize that this session here this morning, this is kind of like the halfway point in the week? So I don't say that to like bum you out, but I do say that to say that you still have roughly about 3 days left. We've got most of today, we got all of tomorrow, we got all of Friday, got a little bit of Saturday. So make the most of your time you got left here at camp. If you've had something that you've been wanting to try this week, but maybe your nerves have gotten the best of you, maybe you want to try the zip line, or maybe you want to try something that's going to kind of test your daredevil spirit, then now's the time. You know, I'm not like a huge YOLO guy or a FOMO guy, but Don't miss your opportunity. I don't want y'all to have this four-hour car ride back home and be like, "Ah, I should have done the zip line." Oh well, maybe next year. So make sure you make the most of your last few days here at camp. So here's what we want to do here this morning. Like, we typically do a recap. So instead of just throwing out words, like, it's one thing for us to memorize the words. Let's make sure we understand where those words fall in our letter that we're looking at, and that letter is Colossians. Okay, thanks. So we're going to call out a word, and then we're going to try to place how this all fits into the sequence of the letter that we're looking at this week. So our first word, going all the way back to Sunday night, was fruit. And so Paul is telling the Colossians that the good news of Jesus is going out, and it is producing fruit in followers of Jesus. And so where we wanted that to land is that we wanted that same fruit to be produced in your life and in my life as followers of Jesus. And we know that fruit is from Jesus because these are the things that we can't produce on our own. We talked about all those fruits of God's Spirit, these things that we are just naturally not good at producing. Things like being gentle and kind to other people, things like being self-controlled, things like giving love to others, things like having patience with people. All these things we are not naturally good at. And so Paul says that fruit is available to us and is being produced because of our life in Jesus. So we've got that first part of the letter. Our next word was will. That Paul wants everybody to know God's will. Because remember, this was this group of people that said, "Oh, God's will is a secret, and this is something that we have to try to figure out. And if we do certain things, then God's going to give us this special secret knowledge of what His will is." And we said, Paul just comes right out and says it. This is God's will for your life, that you please and honor Him with your lives, and that you bear fruit for Him. And we said, hey, that's it. That's God's will. Now, what do you do with the rest of your life, if you remember? As long as you are doing those things, if you are pleasing God and living for Him and bearing fruit for the kingdom of Jesus, then as long as you're not breaking the law, God's probably okay with whatever you choose to do professionally for the rest of your life. So that is God's will, is that we please Him, that we live for Him, and that we bear fruit. So we keep moving in the letter. Our next word was center. Because Paul is basing all of his writings about the person and the work and the lordship of Jesus. And so then he says, let's talk about Jesus. We've been working our way up to Him. Let's talk about Him. And then he starts giving us this beautiful picture of who Jesus is. And we even sang that this morning. If you caught the first few words of "What a Beautiful Name," or "What a Wonderful Name," I can't remember, "What a Beautiful Name," I'm getting old. Did you guys catch that? The first few lines, you were the one at the beginning, the one with God, Lord Most High. Now I'm like losing all the words. But that first verse, all that stuff in Colossians that we're talking about, that you were the one, you were at the beginning, and that's who Paul is telling us, that Jesus is at the center of everything, that he was there before anything was made, and then when everything was made, it was made through him, and then he holds it all together. So Jesus is at the center of this whole thing, and he is at the center of our lives. And then we follow that up with our next word, which was spoiler, okay? Again, here's the spoiler. Paul even says it. This is the mystery. This is the secret. Jesus lives in you, which gives us hope. That's it. Ain't no secret to it. God is not keeping secrets anymore. Once Jesus came, and once Jesus did the work that he did here on earth, and once Jesus was crucified and was resurrected and ascended back to be with the Father, it's no longer a secret. Everything is found in him. So, spoiler, Jesus is at the center of everything, and he lives in us. And then we get to last night's word, which was rooted. All right, yeah. So Paul says, because Jesus is at the center of everything, it is up to us to stay rooted in that teaching, in that belief that Jesus is at the center of everything. And remember, we used that illustration of the trees last night. And the longer we remain in Jesus, the deeper our roots in him go. And it's going to be a heck of a lot harder for something or someone to come along and take us away from him. And we use that silly illustration, even though we didn't have a video, hopefully it's still in everybody's mind, about these good old boys trying to hook the chain up to the back of the car and pull the tree out by the chain. And it never goes right, and they end up ripping off half the back of the car or the truck because those roots are too deep for that tree or that bush to come out of the ground like that. And Jesus talks about having our roots. Paul talks about us having our roots deep enough in Jesus that we won't be moved by what he calls high-sounding nonsense. Okay, so there's our brings us to this point here this morning. So now we are in Colossians chapter 2. I believe we have it up here on the wall. So I'm going to read it up here. You can follow along. We are in verse 16. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. There's Jesus at the center of everything again. Paul's not keeping any secrets here. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together, just like we learned a couple nights ago, with Jesus being at the center, and he holds everything together. He holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Woo! There's a lot going on there. Again, Paul is circling back to this group that we've mentioned a few times so far that say, if you want to follow Jesus, you got to do these things. They are setting up these rules. Some group somewhere is setting up rules or trying to impose rules on people who say, I want to follow Jesus, and it's like they hand them this giant stack of things that they have to do every day and how things should be done, and they have created extra rules for followers of Jesus. So, our word for this morning, question one, is always, what? Now, this one's going to be weird. You'll be like, really? This is the word? Stick with me. Here's the word, referee. Here's the word I want you to remember, referee, for this section. I know this sounds weird. Stick with me. First of all, think about what it means to be a referee or to be an official. Here we go. Got a few pictures up here. Think about what it means to be an official or to be a referee in a sport. The official is there because the officials are wanting to make sure that both teams are doing what? They're following the rules. They're wanting to make sure that there are rules for these sports, and these officials are there because they want to make sure that each side is following the rules correctly. But here's the deal. In the Bible, we talked about this. If we go all the way back to Genesis, we already said this before. How many rules do we start off with in Genesis? One, don't eat that. Was that rule followed? No. So then we move to the next book, the book of Exodus, and then it goes from one rule up to how many? 10. Were all those rules followed? Do you realize God is giving out rules to Moses, and one of the rules up there was don't worship an image that has been made, and don't worship that as a god? And Moses is literally getting that rule, and you know what's going on down on the ground? They're all worshiping an image that somebody made. So that rule wasn't even, the ink wasn't even drying on that rule, and everybody down here on the ground thinks that Moses is dead because he's been up on the mountain for over a month. And there's like, who's going to lead us? And they're like, I know, let's make a golden calf and worship it. Great idea. So that just shows that even if we go from one rule to 10 rules, the rules aren't being followed. People are not following the rules. And if you go through the rest of those first five books of the Bible, you start adding the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, if you observe and you count every rule that's in there, it gets to over 600 commands that God gives at the beginning. And are all those rules followed? No! You all, and I say this because I used to be one of you, and I still kind of am one of you. We are experts at not following the rules. We are world class at not following the rules. Y'all get rules given to you at home by your parents, and as soon as your parents aren't looking or are gone somewhere, you are already trying to figure out, how can I get around this rule, or how can I just flat out break this rule and not get what? Caught. See? Y'all know what I'm talking about. So, the rules have been put in place, but in the Bible, people aren't following the rules. They're not. Nobody could follow them all of the time. And then enters Jesus into the story. And Jesus is able to follow all the rules, all the time, without sinning, with the right heart. And when Jesus is crucified, and when Jesus is resurrected, when he does that, after following all these rules and keeping these things without sinning, he fulfills all of that. So it doesn't mean that you just take the Old Testament and just be like, ah, just throw that away. We don't need that anymore. Jesus fulfills all of these things. So because he's fulfilled it, then the rules of the game change. You guys still following me? The rules of the game change once Jesus fulfills all the old rules. And now, we're just left with one new rule. And it's believe in Jesus and follow him. I guess that kind of sounds like two rules. But the rules have changed. Believe in Jesus and follow him. So, back to our illustration here. The officials are here to make sure people are following the rules. And if we're reading Colossians faithfully, it reads like there are some out there who are claiming to be followers of Jesus, who are still pressuring people, who are still requiring, who are maybe even shaming other people into keeping old rules and laws while following Jesus. Stuff like what you are eating, what you are drinking, whether or not you are celebrating certain festivals or keeping the Sabbath, or all of these things that were from the old covenant that God made with Israel, and people are still trying to hang on to those and say, you can't follow Jesus unless you're doing this other stuff. You got to be doing this other stuff if you want to say that you're following Jesus. Now, again, I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm not saying that keeping the Sabbath is a bad thing. I'm not saying that certain festivals that we celebrate to remember what God has done are bad things. But these have personal value to people, but these don't have a salvation value to it anymore. Meaning, keeping these things are not going to make you saved. Following Jesus and believing in Him is. So that has replaced those rules. So Paul says these people don't have the right to become an official or a referee and make the call on what's right and wrong in how you follow Jesus. They don't have the right to that. Because let's just think about officials in our own modern day sports context. Do the officials in our soccer matches or our basketball games or our volleyball matches, or like, do they always get every call right every time? No, because if they did, your parents wouldn't be up there in the crowd going, "Ah, oh, that's a terrible call. What are you doing out there?" I know, because sometimes I'm one of those people. Again, you can probably hear me at Grace College basketball games over in the corner yelling my disagreement with that call that was made. So the officials don't always get these things right. If you don't believe me, look up videos of baseball players who disagree with umpires who call balls and strikes and see what happens to those guys. They usually get thrown out of the game. Sometimes just for looking at the umpire and not saying anything. There's like, and the ump's like, "You're out of here!" So the officials don't always get things right because they're human. So they're not always going to get the call correct. Which leads us to question two, which is always, so what? Why are you talking about referee at Bible camp? I don't understand. What is this all about? Let's try this again. All right. Uh-oh, I think this might have died. Can you advance my slide for me? All right. So if we'll get to so what in just a second here. So let's expand a little bit on this. When we talk about referee, and Paul says, don't let anybody condemn you. That word, if we looked at it in the original language, that's a very specific word that usually applies to athletic competitions or that applies to sporting type events. And so Paul says, literally, don't let anybody disqualify you as kind of like an official or a referee or a judge. Don't let anybody disqualify you from the prize. So if these people are saying, hey, you need to eat this, or you need to be drinking this, or you need to be celebrating this festival, or you need to make sure that you observe the Sabbath today, all these kinds of things, or otherwise you're disqualified from following Jesus, Paul says, don't let these people do this to you. That is no longer part of the rule. That is no longer part of the game anymore. The rules of the game have changed. So now we can go to this next one with so what? So what? Why is this important? Well, if we're following Jesus, we are now living by a different set of rules. That doesn't mean we are above the rules. It doesn't mean that we are beyond the rules. It's just that the rules of the game have now changed as far as Paul is concerned and what he's trying to communicate to these people who are now following Jesus. It's not a different game, but the rules of the game have changed. And this happens. We shouldn't be like surprised at this kind of stuff. This stuff happens in sports all the time, where the game changes as the years go by and the game begins to evolve and it expands, and then the rules become tweaked from what they originally were. I'm a huge basketball guy. We got any basketball people in the crowd? Okay. Huge basketball fan. Now, have you ever looked at the original rules of basketball when a guy named Dr. James Naismith invented the game in 1891? These are straight from the USA Basketball website, so I didn't get this from dudeingrandmasbasement.com. This was a legitimate website, usabasketball.com. These are some. There were 13 original rules. I'm just pointing out a few of them. Let's take a look at these. Number one, the ball may be thrown in any direction by one or both hands. Is that still kind of an accepted rule in basketball? Yeah. We can inbound the ball with one hand. We can inbound it with two hands. We can throw it down court, or we can throw it back in the other direction, as long as we don't have a backcourt violation. So yeah, that's still a widely accepted rule in basketball. Let's look at the second one. Number two, a player cannot run with the ball. Is that still pretty much the case? Don't get into it with the NBA and how many steps these guys take. I'm not here to argue that. But you can't catch the ball and then take off 27 steps down the court without dribbling, right? Okay, so, but back then it says a player cannot run with the ball. The player must throw the ball from the spot he catches it. If you're reading this correctly, that probably means when the game of basketball first got invented, there wasn't what? Dribbling. That wasn't part of the game. We can only advance the ball through passing. We can't run with it. We can't dribble it. So the player must throw the ball from the spot he catches it. Look at this next one. If either side, this one's crazy, if either side makes three consecutive fouls, then it shall count for a goal for the opponents. Some of y'all be in trouble. Some of y'all be like, you better pull him out before he gets the third foul. I'm not giving a basket to this other team. Now, is this still a rule in basketball? No. So the rules have changed in 130-plus years since this was first written. And then look at the last one. Now, again, there's some other ones that are kind of crazy, but didn't have enough space to put all these up here. So the time shall be 2 15-minute halves with a 5-minute rest in between. Now, that's still kind of similar. College basketball have 2 20-minute halves with a 10-minute break in between. But there's that. One final rule that I didn't put up on there, it said that if there was a tie, if there was an event of the tie, as long as the captains of both teams agree, then it would go into what we would call sudden death, which means the next team that makes a basket wins. Now, that's not how it works in basketball today. You will have a 5-minute overtime period to see who would win if we're in college. So the rules of basketball have changed. We don't just go to, they didn't just show up for the NBA Finals and hand the Pacers and the Thunder. There's like, well, gentlemen, tonight we're playing by 1891 rules. Have at it. That'll be the worst finals in history. Because guys are not going to know what they're doing. The guys are going to be like, they're like, guy get three fouls in a row, and then somebody, the Pacers are going to get 2 points because of that. It's going to be terrible. But do you see how the game has changed and how the rules, they didn't completely get rid of basketball, but the rules have changed. And that's the same thing with following Jesus. The rules have changed now that we're following Jesus. So we no longer have to keep these long rules from the Old Testament. That doesn't mean these rules don't matter. But Jesus fulfilled all of those things because we couldn't. So now the rule is, am I believing in Jesus and am I following Jesus? Him. Okay. Because don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. We have people in our lives along the way who help us as we follow Jesus. Your parents, your friends, your pastors, your mentors, your coaches, if you're in a discipleship, your cabin leaders this week. This isn't just anarchy at Miracle Camp and you can do whatever you want. You can't run out here and start putting your hands all over the golf cart and be like, ah, it doesn't matter, I believe in Jesus. They're here to help you along the way. But this is what Paul is getting at. If somebody starts to tell us that our salvation in Jesus is determined by these things, by what we eat, by what we drink, the number of times we pray in a day, the number of church services we attend in a month, how many holidays we observe, how many times we've read the scripture, that's putting themselves in the referee seat making calls on our lives. And Paul says, that's not how it works. And he tells us, don't let anybody condemn us with that stuff. Now, tomorrow night, spoiler, tomorrow night, Paul's going to use this word a little bit later in the book of Colossians, and he's going to tell us who can make that referee-type call in my lives, in our lives. You probably will figure it out before tomorrow night because you all are very sharp. But Paul says one person has a right to make that call in our lives. So that brings us to our final question. Q3, which is always, now what? Okay. So I'm supposed to remember that this the word with this section is referee, and I'm supposed to remember that it's about following Jesus, but if people start adding new rules or extra rules to these things, that's not how this works anymore. So what am I supposed to do with this information? Now what? So here's a statement I want us to use for this moment, for this morning. Jesus, help me focus on what I believe and not how I believe. Those are different statements. Jesus, help me focus on what I believe and not how I believe. These guys that are saying, you have to observe this, you got to do 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 this, they are obsessed with the how we are doing things. And Paul is saying, let's focus on the what we are believing. What are the things about Jesus we are believing? What are the things about Jesus that we are following? Are we following that Jesus' way of life is better than anything we can come up with on our own? Are we focusing on Jesus' words? Jesus was asked by a guy, hey, Jesus, there's over 600 commandments in the Old Testament. What's the greatest one? Anybody know how Jesus answers that? Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment, that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, and the second greatest commandment is just like it. Anybody know what the second greatest commandment was? What is it? Right. Jesus says the second greatest commandment is that you love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. Jesus says, if you're doing both of those things, I tell my eighth grade class when we look at this in the Gospels, say Jesus has boiled it down to two things. You love God with everything you have, and you love other people the same way that you take care of other people the same way that you want to take care of yourself. If you're doing those two things, you're killing it. You're crushing it. Problem is that we can do great with one of them and sometimes not do so great with this one or the other way around. So that's the what. Focusing on the what I believe rather than just the how I believe. Instead of focusing on how we believe. So we're not going to walk around at lunch today when one table's over here in the corner going, we love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you? And it goes to the next table. They're like, well, tell me exactly how you're loving Jesus today. How many times have you read your Bible today? Tell me exactly how many times you've prayed today. Tell me, have you memorized all the words this week? Tell me exactly how you are doing this. So, first of all, I don't want to sit by that table. If I'm at that table, I'm getting up and I'm like, all right, I'm going to a new cabin. Sorry. Peace out. Okay. So, think of how ridiculous that sounds. Yeah, we love Jesus. How about you? Yeah, I do too. Well, tell me exactly how you're loving Jesus. If you're following Jesus, the how you're loving Jesus is going to just naturally present itself. If I'm following Jesus, these things, I don't have to prove that I love Jesus because of how many times I've read the scripture. I already love Jesus, so I want to read the scripture. Does that make sense? It's a huge difference. If I'm truly following Jesus, then I want to connect with Jesus through prayer, not just to prove to my buddy that I prayed enough times today. If I'm connected to Jesus, then I'm going to want to be involved in a faith community or in a church, not just to be like, well, I'm going to go to a church just to prove to my parents that I actually love Jesus so they quit bothering me about this stuff. Those things we're just going to naturally do because that's Jesus's roots growing inside of us. So that's the fruit of our relationship with Jesus, not how we prove to others that we're following him. So let's focus on that today. Jesus, help me focus on what I'm believing, not just how I'm believing or how I'm following you. Let's close in prayer here, and then we'll let you guys head to your next event here this morning. So let's all pray together. Jesus, I thank you that you came in and you changed the rules of the game. You didn't throw out the game. You didn't throw out the rules. You perfected all the rules. And then you said, okay, we're going to change the rules of the game. And so I thank you for changing the rules of the game, that you have made it simple for us. That doesn't mean that you made it easy for us, but you did make it simple that we are to believe in what you've done and follow you. And anything else on top of that are not things that you have placed on us. Again, these things that we do, we spend time in your word. We communicate with you through prayer. We are part of a faith community. We are part of a discipling community. These are all things we do because of our relationship with you. We don't do these things to prove that we have a relationship with you. So God, would you help us focus on what we believe about Jesus, and that should drive us to your word to seek those things out. It should drive us to prayer to communicate with you, and not just on how we follow you, how we believe in you. God, whatever these students are doing here this morning and this afternoon, I pray that we continue to keep you at the center of all things, you who hold everything together, and that you would continue to grow their roots in you, and that you would help them uncover the what they believe and focus in on that today. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. All right, we'll see you guys. You're dismissed.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.